Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all with a hell of a shout. It's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, yeah.
How many rallies have you been to this year? Good morning, listeners and members. Welcome to Fire Up MUA. You're listening to Radical Radio 3CR. And I'm here with my co-host, Robin Aaron. How are you, comrades?
Good, David. How are you?
Very good. Very good, David. Wouldn't be anywhere else at 6:30 on a Thursday morning, would you?
No, of course not. And of course, our producer Annie is with us. Hi, Annie.
G'day. How are you guys?
Yeah, fantastic. And
It's not raining.
No.
Beautiful day going to be.
Doggies are pushing their way towards the finals.
Oh, gee, we've got a little bit to go there, but it is interesting, the next couple of rounds, no doubt.
Need Hawthorn to lose.
Geez, funny how you haven't mentioned them all year. Now, all of a sudden, they're knocking on the door. Oh, guess what?
Oh, yeah, look who's here.
I suppose that bloke Norton that you wanted to drop fucking 3 months ago. I suppose he's a superstar again,
didn't
he?
I never wanted to drop Norton. I did think about moving him up the back line, but no, he's doing great, yeah. And we want to talk a bit about rallies and the impact that rallies have and how many rallies people have been to this year. Aaron, how many rallies have you been to this year?
Oh, mate, I would think it would be in the tens, dozens of them. The union movement consistently holds rallies, and so we're down there supporting our brothers and sisters. I think the last one we went to was the Haxu rally. Maybe, or that's the TW right. Bus rally, sorry.
Yeah, the TW bus
the
rally.
The biggest bus strike, and we've had the Haxu mental health rallies. I've been consistently at the Sunday rallies for the Palestine, in support of a free Palestine. So which are happening every Sunday, and we encourage every MUA member to get down there. But you'll see a flag here and there, so come over and say hi.
Yeah, it's actually interesting because our members think unless it's a rally for an MUA thing, it's, you know, what's the point? But the union movement, and particularly our, closer unions, if you like, I don't know what the terminology would be, but Haxu are terrific friends of our union, great supporters of our union. The TWU have been the same. That's why we go and support those rallies, and we ask for members to come. You know, it's really important that we get there and they see the MUA flag, you know, flying at these rallies, because when it's our turn, they support us.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we had the rally outside of DP World during their EA campaign in, must have been late 23, early 24, we had all those unions back there, RTBU, Haxu, CFMU, ETU, AAU, a bunch of unions returning support.
It's about class interests, though.
It is, that's right. And it's about class interest, so it's about looking after the working class and sticking together, because sticking together is the only thing that works ultimately.
And there was a massive rally, of course, in Sydney last week over the Harbour Bridge. I believe 200,000 or 300,000
people.
Well,
it's funny, isn't it? Because I, because of the work I do, I'm always interested in how people actually work out the size of a crowd, because it's pretty tricky, isn't it?
And four people in this
big
room now.
Yeah, big, small. Whatever, humongous. But the police said 90,000, and then people said 200,000.
Yeah.
And then if you were listening to Stick Together, they were talking about 300,000. And talking at the Palestine rally on Sunday, NASA was saying that NASA Masni was saying that he'd said to his friend, you know, who's a Lebanese guy, come to the rally, come to the rally. But of course, he says, because he was running on Lebo time, he said, and he can say this. He was running on Lebo time, he said, you know, so I told him he should turn up at 12, but he turns up at 1:30, but he can't get in to the train because, you know, it's miles away, the train, and it's packed solid with people trying to get to the bridge.
Yep.
So, and then he goes, NASA says, he says to the cops, because he's at the front of the line, he says to the cops, so where do we, and they've moved right across the bridge. He says, what do we do now? And he says, the cop says, I don't know.
Well, turn around and go back.
Yeah. Well, that's what NASA said.
That's the own fault of New South Wales Police, eh? Rather than trying to
support
and work with the public, they spent all their efforts, resources and time trying to block it in the courts.
Yeah.
And then didn't prepare, so that's on their own fault.
And do we think there was an immediate response from the Australian government straight after that rally?
Well, there's been a shift in position at very least. I mean, it's probably not far enough. Definitely not far enough, but there has been a shift in position, which I guess goes to the point of rallies, right? It's mass mobilisation does work. It's the Australian government 3 weeks ago was skirting around questions of recognising a Palestinian state, and we had mass rallies. One was held here in Victoria as well,
that was pretty bizarre.
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre. In New South Wales, I was trying to stop the bridge from being shut down. In Victoria, they put a bunch of armed coppers to shut the bridge down for us. So, you know.
I know, they said, you rabble, yeah. You're going to stop the ambulances from getting through.
Yeah,
and then they put up
the barricades. Yeah, so.
But Dave's point's valid, you know, there has been nothing coming out of Albanese's government about it, and then all of a sudden. But mind you, he didn't do it on his own, you notice. You know, he waited for other countries. He sort of tacked onto them as well.
Last of about 200 countries.
Yeah,
doesn't it
expose how enmeshed these all of our countries are in warmongering?
Mm, yeah,
that's true.
Yep.
But that's what moves people, isn't it? That's what gets governments to, you know, to take notice. And that's, whether it's 90,000 or 300, it's a shitload of people, and that and the view of it, the optics of it, that looks fantastic.
But I'll tell you something else about the rally. Another thing that NASA said, he said that when he was a kid, like he was 10, I don't know, I think he's about 50 now, but he was 10. He said the first rally he went to, he knew everybody. And it was him and his brother and his mum and dad. That was the first rally that he spoke at.
So it's Melbourne's turn on the 24th of August. The same groups that organised the big rally in Sydney are pushing for a big rally here in Melbourne. It is the same Sunday rally that we've been having every week, but this one, they're really putting some work behind publicising it. And the union movement is getting behind it. Victorian Trades Hall is getting behind it. The MUA are getting behind it. Lots of unions are getting behind it. There's the details are still being worked out, but I think unions will be contacted over the next couple of days to be told to meet out the front of Trades Hall prior to the Sunday rally. So I'd say about 11 o'clock, there'll be a sausage sizzle, maybe some speeches, and we'll march together down to the State Library, where the Palestinian rally will play out. And we'll be marching behind a banner, Unions for Everlasting Peace, I think it'll say. So I'm really excited about that, and we really need all union members to get out there and support that.
That's the message, though, isn't it?
Which reminds me of...
Peace is union business.
Yeah, which reminds me of, not this May Day because I wasn't here, but the previous May Day, which just goes to tell you how long this... attack on the Palestinian people has been going on. But the May Day rally outside Parliament, the Trades Hall in, not this year, but the previous year, was met by all those people from down in the Palestinian rally. They
the
came up
this year.
They came up and joined and made it into a rousing event.
That's what happened this year.
So it's a return.
That's what happened this year as well.
Yeah.
The other, I think the other rallies over the last 18 months, 2 years that have really stuck out to me were the school kids fighting, for climate. That was a really good, great social movement where the kids really got up behind it and got a lot of attention and I think had a really impact. So we like to encourage the school kids to get out there again because the climate's not getting any better.
No wonder you're a union official and a failed school teacher, Dave. Don't go to school, kids. They're only going to teach you how to participate in capitalism, so get out there and fight.
Absolutely. It's funny, kids are far more aware of what's around them today.
Well, they're scared. That's why.
Than what we ever were.
Well, it's interesting. There's a film out at the moment called Future Council, which actually deals with that. So if you've got a kid and you're worried and they're worried about it, it's a good one to go to see, because it's about a collection of little young kids, or 10 to 12, going around. 12's not that young, but going around talking to corporations and people like that about, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, Dave, your kids would have done the same as mine. My kids learned MUA Here to Stay when they were still in school, because I'd just say it was a really social, something on your moral compass that you needed support. The kids came out of school and went to it.
My teen lead's got a solid fist continuously. Only because she's 10 weeks old and doesn't know how to open it yet, but, solidarity.
She's born with it. It's inbuilt. Your moral and social compass is inbuilt.
It's inbuilt.
Yeah.
Guess that from her mother.
Are we going to have a song?
So the moral of the story is that, you've really got to fight for something that you want, and we're going to go to our first song, which is You Get It If You Really Want It by Desmond Dekker.
You can get it. Succeed at last. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Persecution, you must be.
There we go, a bit of Desmond Dekker. Nothing like a bit of Desmond Dekker at 6:30 or 7.
No, it's so groovy.
It is. It's actually a pretty upbeat song. Well done, Dave. Just to close out, before we move on to some industrial stuff, that the protests are important and we need our members. We need your members to actually get in behind it for us. We're a political and social union. We're not just an industrial union that just fights for your conditions and wages and everything else. We're part of the union movement and we are leaders in the union movement when it comes to sticking up for things that we find. We're going all the way back to the Indigenous. We've done it all the way back through apartheid, that's why Mandela came out here.
Going back to Annie's point, it's a class-based interest, right?
It is.
Our strength industrially is supported or enhanced by our social involvement and the support we have of the broader class.
So when we send out something, we want the members to support a rally. We don't just send it out because it's a tick in a box. We send it because we want you there.
I was walking on that rally on Sunday and because I've got a different eye to it because I collect material, people were chatting to each other, like getting to know each other as they were walking down the street, and I thought, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
you do have a wonderful experience at a rally, absolutely. It is a great social event as well.
It is, but we need our members to turn. When we send something out, we ask it, the union supports you. When we ask for support back, we would really appreciate it for members to turn out.
And we look forward to seeing you all at the nationwide rally on the 24th of August, probably about 11 o'clock out the front of Victorian Trades Hall, ending up at the State Library. We've got a little bit of competitiveness with Sydney. Can we get more than 300,000?
We need someone to write it. First of all, we need a media outlet to actually report on it.
Maybe we can get a WA organiser to count the numbers for us.
Oh, WA have a problem with counting.
Yeah, that's why you have 3CR.
We'll have 50 million there.
That's why we have 3CR.
Remember, well, it's in, the MUA and all the rest of it, the 98 dispute down on the wharves, 3CR was a hugely important outlet during that affair because the legacy media refused to actually report what's right in front of their faces.
Yep. Until the momentum got so far that social change had to take place.
And also the picture opportunities were so great. I mean, you know, having the police like water and oil, you know, the protesters and the, you know, I mean, even legacy media photographers can't help themselves.
I didn't know legacy media even existed still. So I thought they'd died on the vine and 3CR was all we had.
We're going to talk a little bit about some of our industrial issues and disputes and fights taking place. I've just come back from Darwin. The Lynx National EA Committee was up in Darwin to negotiate the Lynx National EA. We go to Darwin, we go to all the ports in the country because that's where Lynx operate out of, and the idea is that we negotiate in the port, we involve the local delegates so that they understand where the negotiations are taking place.
And you do a report back after that to the local...
We normally do, but we didn't manage to get a report back to the members in Darwin this time over because it's more of an EA report. Negotiation this time, but we are up to the drafting stage, even though not everything has been agreed to. We've got some ongoing complexities around workers' compensation. Lynx have not treated people on workers' compensation very well at all over the last forever, and you know, people hurt themselves at work. They shouldn't be punished for it. And, people, you know, they've been sacked, they've been alienated, and it's just not good enough. So we're looking to put clauses in the agreement that override the legislation. One of the ones we're stuck on at the moment is, you know, your right to have a rostered day or rostered week off while you're on workers' compensation. You know, the legislation doesn't... Once you're on a return-to-work plan and you're doing less than your 35 hours a week, there is a legal view, and it's pretty grey. No one seems to have a real solid view on it, but you're not entitled to your rostered time off, your rostered week off or your rostered days off. So we want to put it into the agreement so that our members are guaranteed that rostered week off. A lot of our members, you know, rely on that rostered week off. They've got families... The families rely on those people being available during that rostered week off. We think it's a right. It's a right that we've fought for. And just because you've been hurt at work, you shouldn't be penalised.
Penalised, right, yeah.
So it's insane that the company gets to injure you and then screw you further.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened.
So that's an ongoing battle, and we're pretty adamant that we're going to have to win that one because, you know, as I said, Lynx's track record with people on workers' compensation has been atrocious. And, you know, the reason, one of the reasons that the stevedore and companies are going so hard on workers' compensation is premiums for the insurance has gone through the roof over, the last couple of years. But, you know, that's the cost of running business. And if you're not going to keep your workers safe, well, you should pay for it.
Absolutely.
Instead of sacking them, here's an idea.
It's funny.
Find a way to make the job better and safer so people don't get hurt.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So someone told me that who works in this sort of area, they said that people think that capitalism's going to come to its knees because of the climate. It's actually because insurance can't handle the insurance companies can't handle
the
Their premiums have become and their premiums have become so extreme that business can't actually operate.
They must be struggling to make money, those insurance companies.
Oh, what
companies.
About them? Yeah. Man, that's another. Get onto another subject there. Bloody hell, people can't get their houses insured in some of those flood areas that have flooded up in New South Wales in the last few years.
Yeah,
and we're not insuring you anymore.
No, and the fire prone areas.
Anyways, next in a fortnight's time, we'll be bagging insurance companies further, so tune in.
Sorry.
While we're talking,
I shouldn't have interrupted, really.
It's all right.
No, but while we're talking about EAs, we've been drafting VICTs as well, so that's been happening this week, and we're getting extremely close, and we hopefully will have an update to members about a potential vote date in the next 24 hours, so... We should have that out, which is really good.
In pencil, what are you looking at? Just in pencil, like what would you be sort of looking at?
We're looking at pay increases that range from about 20.
The vote.
Pay increases that range about 26% to 40-something%, depending on where you are in the business.
That just means how much they're robbing them the last 4 years.
I've been robbing them for a decade almost now. But we're looking at the end of the month. So one date later this month is when we're looking at. But it just depends on whether or not we can get the EA drafting finalised by this week. So
yeah,
that's where we're at, which is good. But we're looking at some pretty good outcomes there for our members. Reduced average weekly hours, significant pay increases that close the gap between us and the remainder of the terminal industries, and a bunch of other conditions that have been secured throughout this process. So without preempting the vote of our members, I think it's worthwhile congratulating the delegates on getting us this far. It's been a hell of a job and a bit of a slog, but we've been able to get us to a point where we're comfortable enough with the EA that we will, providing the drafting gets wrapped up, we'll be supportive of a yes vote, and the delegates are happy as well. So that's where we're at.
That's good. That's a great outcome. And those, you know, once again, they got to a stage through those negotiations where there's no more money left. There's nothing left. Yeah. You've rung us dry. The bucket's empty. And well, you need to go back and get a bigger bucket.
Yeah.
And I just feel every time we talk about VICT, we have to talk about the hard work that the members did and the union did and the union movement. Speaking about rallies. There was massive rallies out the front of VICT 2017.
Yeah.
Aaron played a massive role in that, and of course the members played a massive role in that, and the broader union movement, and it was those rallies and that determination to get an outcome that turned that workplace around from...
Non-union.
To...
Yeah, from having two members when I first... popped my head up in Victoria.
Meeting them in pubs,
and now we're at
99%,
and we've got the company offering 30% and 40% pay increases over a 4 year term.
Must be no money in terminals.
nothing. No cash here.
So you know that
not anymore. We've actually taken it.
That's a massive win for the MUA and the members down there.
But we read about how much the parent company ICTSI make, you know, and it's.
Oh, like the ninth biggest stevedore in the world or something.
Maybe they don't think you can read.
The idea is we're happy for them to keep making. The more money you make, that's fantastic.
Just give us our fair share.
We're the ones that make it. So
well, they're never going to give you your fair share, but give us a bit.
Yeah.
They pay tax in Australia.
At least more than one crumb.
That's right.
DP World don't pay any tax in Australia.
Dubai Ports do not pay a cent.
And we.
This is corporate welfare.
Yeah, it is absolutely.
Aaron, do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, we had a conference with Dubai Ports members last week. That was held in Sydney, where we ran through
all the four ports got together with.
Yeah. Ran through the response for us nationally on the proposal to automate. The union's position, it maintains that there's no automation without agreement, and we need to get agreement on what work will look like if they choose to go ahead with this.
And they've actually openly said this will not improve. It will not improve productivity. Yeah. It will not improve truck turnaround times.
It's wild. They were read their horoscopes when they showed up to the conference.
Well, certainly read their tea leaves
in no uncertain terms, left their understanding what our position was. But yeah, you're right. This is an insane attack on organised labour because they are openly saying that this is not about productivity. In a climate now where we're about to have a productivity roundtable where the government's screaming, business is screaming, they're saying, oh, no, this won't. Not only will it not improve productivity, it may actually have an impact on it. It may worsen the box rate or the gross box moves per hour, and there's no indication what it will do to the truck turnaround times when they're the two key measures of productivity that we've been smashed with and that our members have significantly increased since 1998 and beyond, and before that, really. But since the waterfront dispute, we've did our part increasing productivity, and now the Sultan of Dubai is about to come in, snatch it away in the interest of making profits.
He must need a quid.
Yeah, no, he must need to buy another fucking leopard or something. I don't know what he spends his money on.
Mate, live radio.
Yeah, you swore at the beginning. I thought it was carte blanche. I'm just taking. Taking instructions from my leaders.
So the fight continues, and in the face of adversity, we will turn up every time, and we will continue to fight. And we're going to go out with another Desmond Dekker song. It's Desmond Dekker and the Aces, 007 Shantytown. Hope you enjoy it.
Good on you, members. Have a great day.
Have a good day, comrades.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.